Welcome to Greycast, exploring the world of Greyhawk one podcast at a time. This podcast is all about bringing the classic World of Greyhawk setting to life through Greyhawk creators, Greyhawk lore, Greyhawk streamers, Greyhawk stories, and of course, the vibrant Greyhawk community of gamers. Thank you for tuning in, and let the exploration of Dungeons & Dragons' most classic and revered setting, the World of Greyhawk, begin now.
Hey, Greyhawkians, it is time for another episode of Greycast, but you knew that because you tuned into this podcast to hear another episode of Greycast, so I won't tell you anymore anything that's quite so obvious. Mateus, how are you, my friend?
I'm a bit tired, but I'm present and accounted for.
Yeah, we're both here. It's, I guess we could sneak tell them the secret sauce. It's not actually Monday morning right now. It's Sunday night.
It's
we record our podcast typically Sunday nights most times around.
That's right. And I just want to take a moment before we start this episode and hype up our next episode. Because our next episode, we are going to do a review. We've never done reviews before, have we?
I don't think we have. I mean, we talk about stuff, but this is an official, like, here, take this and look at it, and why don't you do a review on your podcast type thing? Like, this is a purposeful review.
A purposeful review, that's right.
Yeah, and review with intent.
So that's our next episode, and we won't tell you what the book is, but we will tell you that it was given to us by a certain Kuntz of some sort.
Some guy named Kuntz.
So.
And he said, this is for review only.
That's right. And so we will review that on our next episode. So
we're not telling you what it is.
Yeah,
I will say this. It's related to D&D.
Is it?
It is. Yeah. Yep.
Wow. I didn't think we did anything related to D&D in this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We do. And in fact, we do it in the world of Greyhawk. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight again. I mean, imagine that. As luck would have it.
Hey, tonight I had an idea. And tonight, this morning, whenever you're getting this, I thought, there are some Greyhawk streamers out there. And you're one of them.
I am. That's the rumor.
And I take it you kind of like it.
I do. Yep, I do. I like it a lot.
And there's got to be other, we've already done a intro to Greyhawk episode. It's one of our first ones, yep. And so we didn't feel like we needed one of those. But I thought it'd be great to talk to Wiley about live streaming.
Yeah,
live streaming Greyhawk.
So I do that.
To start us off. What was your first exposure to live streaming D&D Greyhawk?
Okay. Greyhawk. So I think my first Greyhawk experience was seeing Lord Gazumba stream. He has a live play around the table stream. You know, a lot of streamers you see, everybody's on camera. It's fully virtual. Mm-hmm. Lord Gazumba, his games are all at the table. Now that was, way back when it's been about 4 years I've been watching Jay stream. And his only streamed game at that point was his 40th. And I want to say it was like 38 year campaign at the time. I think he's 42 years now. He's been going with that campaign around the table with minis and terrains and all of that cool stuff. But the way I do it is my stream is fully virtual. You know, everybody who plays is somewhere else. We're not around an actual table. We're around a virtual table. And my first actual experience with streaming, I was just cruising around. I discovered a thing called Twitch, And I was cruising around that one night in December of 2017. And I was like, wait a minute, that says D&D on it. So I tuned in and it was, it was a stream. I can't think of the name of it right now, but, I was like, wait a minute, D&D, man, I miss it. And I hadn't played it since college. And so I was like, whoa, I can watch people play. That's pretty cool. And then of course, watching people play makes you want to play. So I hopped on a stream, a fellow by the name of Scraticus. He no longer streams, but he had a good run. And he used to do a, hey, if you want to play, just, you know, if you got a mic and a camera, just come on and play a one shot. And I tried it, scared to death, you know, old guy hanging around with cool younger nerds. And it was fun. It was really fun. And so by the late summer of 2018, I had scraped up enough cabbage to get a decent streaming rig, laptop. I got an Acer gaming laptop. And this Predator thing, and it's actually still going strong over 5 years later, and started streaming D&D. I just was like, the heck with it. I'm just going to do it. And so, you know, if you're thinking about doing it, that's my best advice is just try it, see what happens. One of the things that's, I think, common to DMs who might be new to Greyhawk is this notion of not wanting to muck up the canon or do it wrong or annoy the grognards. And, you know, I think just as a fair statement, I think grognards get a rough time of it. They just happen to love old school D&D. They're not, most of them are not gatekeeping. Goodness sakes. You know, Jay is not a fifth edition guy, but he doesn't hate 5e. He doesn't judge 5e people. You know, I even saw him play 5e once. You know, so don't be off put by people who really sing the praises of Basic Expert and AD&D. That doesn't mean you can't play it. And it certainly doesn't mean you're going to mess up Greyhawk somehow if you do it wrong. Because A, you can't do it wrong. And B, you're not going to mess anything up. And most importantly, I think, say what you're pointing at me. I think you're going to say what I was about to say.
Oh, I was going to say a shout out to our friend Sam. He would say, go ahead, mess up Greyhawk. Do it, please.
Or you could just mess it up. Yeah, then change it.
Just change it. Yeah. Mess it up.
What I was going to say is Gary, there are numerous quotes attributed to Gary Gygax about the importance of making it your own.
Yeah.
Like he wrote it to be, it is rich in lore and detail and history. I mean, no doubt about it. But he left so much of the Flaness and its history open for people to make it their own. And that was his instruction to us, was your table's your table, play it your way. So first suggestion is just don't worry about stuff like that. I know I sure was, especially if you're thinking of streaming, you know, and people are going to see you. You know, you don't want to mess it up if people are watching. Ah. Now I remember what my first Greyhawk stream was. They're no longer on, and that's why I kind of forgotten about them. But the Greyhawk channel is where I met Lord Gazumba, maybe in chat on that channel, and then bounced over to his channel. But the Greyhawk channel used to live stream Greyhawk, you know, surprise, all the time. DM Shane, just tremendous. And that's what kind of gave me the inspiration to try and do my own thing. Now again, don't try to be somebody else, or don't try to make it perfect or do it correctly, or worry about canon. Canon is a guideline, and if you wish to play and follow the canon, the lore, then by all means do so. But it's not, you know, it's not required, and you're not going to break anything. So that's my first thing, is like, just do it and don't worry about all that stuff.
I'll give you a good example of this. Of what you're saying. A good friend of our show, William Henry Dvorak. He's got a great Patreon, and he pumps out lots of stuff. Well, I helped him take all his blog posts on Spine Castle, the Bone March. And put all that out. Now, in his stuff on the Bone March, he doesn't take into consideration the Greyhawk novels by Gygax or Gary Hollian's Spine Castle adventure module that was in Dungeon, but that's okay. You know what? He still put out a fantastic product. And it was just stuff from his campaign that he made up as he needed, and he put it up on his, on a blog post, and he made it his own. And sure, his version of the Bone March looks significantly different from Oblivion Seeker's version of the Bone March that I play in, but you know what, it was still Greyhawk, and it was still really good.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of how Greyhawk is constructed, is even with all of the lore and all the rich history and detail, there's still ample opportunity to make it your own and build your own story. And even when you're doing it on stream, even though people are going to see it, it's okay. It's okay.
So does, from a technical side, what are the technical things required do you need a decent computer? Do you need something, maybe a headset, a good mic? What kind of mic do you like? What kind of headset?
Okay.
You know, just the technical side, the streamer facing side of things. What do you need?
Right. So, I had a Dell that was several years old, and it did not have enough horsepower to run the software and push a stream out to the internet. And there's some things to think about with that, because you're uploading, a lot of video content, streamed live video content, a fair amount of bandwidth. You're pushing it out onto the internet, and most people's internet speeds are based on what they can pull down from the internet, right? There's down speed, which is the speed at which you download things, and then there's up speed. And most internet providers don't give you a ton of upload speed unless you pay extra for that. So one of the things I would suggest is get good internet service. You want to have good upload speed. I happen to have, finally we got fiber. Mm-hmm. So I'm, 50 up. I'll pop on and time my internet real quick.
Whose internet is better?
Speed test. Mine's okay.
Whose internet is better, folks? Put your bets in now.
Oh, you're doing yours too? Nice.
I'll do mine too.
All right. So here goes my download speed. And it's pegged. Okay, so it's up over, it's like 145 Mbps. What is that? Megabytes per second?
Yeah, megabits, actually.
Megabits, excuse me. So we are cruising at a brisk 135. When I first bought internet, I had 25 download and 5 upload.
Yeah.
My upload speed is pegged at 145.
145.
I had 5 to 7 when I was first streaming.
Wow. Yeah. We have fiber, and we're very, very close to the utility company. So I have 231 down and 166 up.
Woo, dude, you are blazing. So I have, I got this ad that's covering it. Okay, 134.8 down and 143 up, which is huge compared. I used to have 25 down and 7 up. You know, I bought cheap, and it was not fiber. So since going to fiber, I'm no longer having any streaming issues as far as pushing to Twitch.
Fiber is good for your diet and for D&D.
And that's for streaming, live streaming, yes.
All right.
It's a great point. I mean, this is one of the only places I know where you can get dietary and Greyhawk all in one. Yeah. So at any rate, back to the technology piece. So I got a good laptop. It's got an NVIDIA GeForce GTX 1660 Ti card in it. That's the video card. It's a Predator Helios 300. It's got a big fan in it. It's a gaming laptop. So it's got extra hard drive in it. What I wish I had were more HDMI ports. I've only got one, and I use 2 27-inch flat panel monitors, plus the laptop itself is a 15.7. It's full HD. The monitor is 144 hertz. So it's good monitor speed, recovery speed. But it's a laptop that was designed for online gaming and streaming. So, you know, your average computer is going to probably struggle with resources, because one, you've got to push upload, to the internet. And then second, there's a couple of software platforms that you're using that really gobble up resources. You're going to want to get, some people swear by OBS. I like Streamlabs OBS or Slobs SLOBS, but that is the software platform that you download that you stream from. That is what connects your stream to your streaming platform, which is Yahoo or Twitch presently are kind of the two main resources. I use Twitch. I've had good luck with it. And I'm not a technical guy, so it's important to mention that. Like, if I can stream, you can stream. The thing I did that really helped me was I went on YouTube and watched a video on how to set your settings in Slobs, which is Streamlabs OBS, how to set those up to align with Twitch so that you can stream, because there's a lot of settings and some things do need to be set. So I just followed the directions and clicked where they told me to click. And so I don't do anything terribly fancy. If you ever want to see our stream, it's the Wily Hobbit Twitch channel, WILYHOBBIT, just like all my handles. It's nothing tremendously fancy, but it gets the job done. And I've been doing it since August of 2018. So it's been over 5 years, a lot of hours of streaming, and really just, Matt, you know, I've got a Logitech, HD. Yeah. How many hertz is this webcam? I'm trying to look at it. I can't see. I'm too old. It's a high definition webcam. Hey, you get a close up look at me here, Mateus. Yeah. It's a 1080p high definition Logitech webcam. I've got a ring light, just to illuminate my face, because, you know, you really want to see a lot of that Wily Hobbit face right there. And the nice thing about this ring light is I can actually change the tone, and I can lower how much light I'm getting. So, yeah, isn't that better? It's a lot less wily right there. And for those of you unable to see this, who've never seen me without a ball cap on, I got a lot of bear skin on my noggin because I don't have any hair. Yeah, just like Mateus. So, but
effulgent
having that
glory coming.
Yeah, off. Having that light kind of shining on though keeps me from looking like I'm in the witness protection program, right? So, solid laptop or desktop. You know, if you built a desktop gaming computer, you're all set. I like to have two monitors. I like to watch my stream inside of Twitch. There's a dashboard in there, and so I can see chat while I'm streaming. I can see my bitrate to make sure that I'm not dropping frames and the stream is looking bad. I could see the stream itself. I'm one who, for the last 5+ years, I will actually produce my own stream and DM and talk in chat. And so when I get done streaming, I'm pretty wiped out because that's a lot of plates in the air.
A lot of whack-a-mole.
If you have somebody who can produce your stream, which is just basically watching the stream, making sure it stays up, making announcements in chat, interacting with chat, managing your maps, your visuals on stream, changing your cameras around, your scenes around, it is nice to have that. DM Dave, he's been on the podcast before. He comes on and he will produce our Sunday game, Secrets of the Flaness. And that has been a nice break, so I can just focus on DMing. So highly recommend, like 12 out of 10 recommend, if you have somebody who can produce for you, especially if you're the DM, that's a good thing.
That's really cool to know.
Yeah. And you can get inexpensive overlays. You can buy them on Etsy. A lot of times you can find people who will sell like an overlay package. Because you want to have an overlay is just a graphic frame around your cameras, what the viewers watch when they're watching your stream.
Right. Yep.
And you can buy them fairly inexpensively. They're not going to be super detailed. They're not going to have a lot of motion to them necessarily, but they're going to be graphically clean. You can go through Etsy, just search for like D&D overlays on the internet. And there are a handful of places. Fiverr is another place. I've bought graphic art from artists off of Fiverr. What I like about doing that is I'm buying art from people who art. So people are getting paid for doing their work. I'm not skilled enough. If you're a whiz with, I think a lot of people do it in Photoshop. Yeah. And they create PNG files for all the overlays or JPEGs. That's a great, you know, if you're good at that, you can create your own overlays. But they're just nice to have versus just a black background with people's faces and Zoom, you know, boxes. Now I use Zoom for my video and audio.
Yep.
Some people like Discord. I don't care for it. It's not been as stable for me. I've had issues with Discord, you know, checking out, crashing midstream, and Zoom has been very stable. So I like to use Zoom. And you just, you know, there's inside of your OBS or SLOBS, you capture all the windows and all the graphics. So if you know somebody who streams, get with them and have them show you the ropes. And if you're listening to this, you know, two people who stream, you know, me and Mateus, right? You stream a little bit, don't you?
Oh, no. I don't do anything.
I thought you did. I had it in my head that you stream. Okay. No. So if you
I do a podcast.
That's right. Yeah. You do a podcast. I know that part. Yeah. but if you would like some, you know, I can't tell you how to set up your Twitch settings and your slob settings necessarily. Like, you could copy mine, walk through them, and, you know, do that. But I could definitely help you with getting your overlays together and showing you some tricks on graphics and you know, how I get my games set up. So, you know, that way when people are watching, I've actually graduated now. I use a virtual tabletop, Roll20 with my games, which this is the first year I've been doing that, because I just didn't want to get that involved with managing Roll20, DMing, chatting, producing. But it works. I managed to get it done. Now that I've got Dave doing one of our Sunday games, it makes it a lot easier. But I've actually started map building in a program called Incarnate, Incarnate. That's another bit of technology. I pay for it, I think it's Incarnate Pro, but it's not super expensive. Highly recommend it for map construction. It's a nice way to build maps, and it's very therapeutic. By the way, you could just sit down and 3 hours later you look up at the clock and you're like, holy smokes, what just happened? So Incarnate, great resource. Go ahead.
Let's back up just a second and talk about VTTs for a second.
Yep.
I know when you started, you did it at Theater of the Mind.
Yeah.
And talk just briefly about the challenges of doing Theater of the Mind on live stream, and then why you've decided to move to VTT, and maybe the learning curve on Roll20, because I've the couple times I've done online games, I've shied away from Roll20 just because it looks really complicated, and I was using Owlbear Rodeo because it's just super simple. But talk to me first about then the challenges or advantages of doing Theater of the Mind, and then why you decided to switch to Roll20.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. So Roll20 is, it's one of the early VTTs that became widespread. A lot of streamers were using that. Since then, there've been a couple others pop up. Owlbear Rodeo, you mentioned. I've been a player in Owlbear Rodeo, but I've never been on the dashboard side. And now that I know what little I know about Roll20, I kind of stick with it. But it is kind of fiddly. Roll20 is quirky. It's sometimes it'll freeze up or black out on you. It isn't always stable. But again, my laptop's 5.5 years old, so part of that could be that my laptop's getting a little tired, because Roll20 is a computer resource devourer of worlds, man. It uses a lot of resources. Like, I can't even use, there's a feature in there called, what is it called? Well, it's the feature where the lighting works automatically. I can't think of what you call it. It'll pop in my head. Dynamic lighting. Damn. Where the lighting actually illuminates as the party moves through the map automatically, versus I turn that off because that really consumes resources, and Roll20 in my laptop just crashes when I try to do that. So I uncover the map as the party moves through it, as their tokens advance and so forth. But Roll20 is nice because you can give your party little round tokens with artwork for their character that they can control. You can reveal the map. There are layers to the map. So there's the layers that the players see, and that's the level that I show on stream. But then I have an instance. So I usually run with two instances of Roll20 open. One where I created a player account so that I can see the player view. And then I have my main account that I see the GM layer, right? Where all like the things are hidden that they don't know about, things that are coming. And then as they go through the map, you can reveal the monster tokens and traps and things as they encounter them. The reason I decided to go VTT, use Roll20, is because, I mean, Theater of the Mind is fun, but it's so much easier for the viewing audience to have, it's so much nicer for them to have a visual. You know, again, I love Theater of the Mind. That's how I grew up playing D&D. We didn't use a lot of minis and maps and all of that. We would, you know, we used to have somebody trying to map along as we went, kind of the old days, have a caller and a mapper and all of that. But I grew up playing Theater of the Mind, and I've become a very descriptive dungeon master. And it's worked pretty well. And I've had a lot of players who love Theater of the Mind, and they are also very descriptive. But it really is next level when you can have a reasonable map that everyone can see. So first of all, it's a nice visual for the viewing audience out there in the interwebs, right? And they're interacting with chat and so forth as you're playing. But it's also really nice reckoning for combat. You know, so much as people get advanced in playing a lot, yeah, and playing well, they become mechanically advanced, their characters advance, and visual reckoning is really important when you've got complex, yeah, things happening in combat, and you've got multiple you know, enemies and the terrain, you know, there's different topography that you're playing on. And so the VTT is very nice for that.
Yeah. The only way that I've seen to do Theater of the Mind that eliminates completely the problem of combat, in combat, of where things are, is a system I found out through Professor Dungeon Master on Dungeon Craft on the YouTube channel. He referenced D&D 5e hardcore mode, which you can get on drive through, and they have this zone thing. It's a completely different way to do movement. That's, you know, you're either out of melee range.
Okay.
And then you
kind of simplifies it and puts like little area zones up. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's little, you know, so there's three different zones. It's complicated, but I'm like you. When I play in-person games, I do my cities and my terrain as Theater of the Mind, but battle, we pull out the maps and get the minis and
grid it up a little bit. Yeah. Makes sense.
So why should a DM is going to get some buddies together and they're going to start a campaign in Greyhawk. They're going to do it online. Why should they consider streaming it?
Sure. Well, that's a good question. I ask myself, you know, like, why am I still streaming? Because, you know, some people stream because they want to have, you know, they kind of refer to it as a channel, and they have these episodic shows with casts. I'm not that organized, nor do I wish to be. I just want to play D&D, and I thought it would be fun for other people to, you know, enjoy our games with us. And it is fun. It's a blast when other people come in and you know, in chat and interact and
what's your audience
enjoy. You know, we average probably 7 to 15 or 16 people most weeks. We've done, you know, we've had some fundraisers and some bigger weekends. I think the most I've had in there is 75, 80, 85 people at one time. So I'm a micro streamer. You know, I'm not a partner by any stretch, never will be, not trying to be. I do it because it's fun. Yep. And when it stops being fun, I'll probably won't do it anymore. I get just enough revenue from Twitch, from subs and people, you know, dropping bits and things, that it pays for, probably covers my Zoom bill. I've purchased a lot of things through Roll20. Like right now we're getting ready to run against the Giants, and I purchased the adventure in the 5e adventure. We're playing at 5e. Which is inside the Tales from the Owning Portal book.
Oh, yep,
and
yep,
all the WotC stuff is available. And the benefit of that buying it in Roll20 is that gets you the maps and all the monsters. The maps are fully loaded, keyed. And so that's really cool. Because again, map making takes hours. At least it does for me. So I'll make smaller maps that are maybe like part of the adventure hook or something like that. Mm-hmm. But having pre-made maps is nice. And so I do it because it's fun and people seem to enjoy it. And I like being part of the Greyhawk online community. That's important to me as a streamer. Mm-hmm. I want to stream enough to have some people who know that we're out here, yep. who, you know, the bigger streamers will give us a shout out or maybe raid into us once in a while to kind of keep us going. But I'm not trying to be a show or become mm-hmm. so monetized that I can quit my day job or have like actors and a cast and all of that. Like Dave, you know, he said he would produce for free because he loves doing it. And he sees how much difficulty I have sometimes trying to keep all the plates in the air. And I think it really, what he's doing is improving our game by doing that. So it's really great that he's doing that. But some people get into full, you know, they will pay their cast, you know, the players that come on, they'll do casting. They'll pay a producer. They will have sponsors, you know, like Jay has significant, and he's got like real sponsors. I'm trying to think like, what would be an example? Dwarven Forge, Trollord Games. Yeah. Frog God Games, Reaper Minis. That's the one, not Dwarven Forge, Reaper Minis.
Yeah.
I knew there was a big mini. Yeah. A couple terrain guys. You know, he's got big time sponsors, but Jay averages, golly, most of his shows average over 100 people, you know, in the audience. And when he gets into fundraising games and stuff, he'll get 200-300 people, you know, and he's drawing, you know, big names in streaming and in D&D. I mean, Ed Greenwood plays in his games and Luke Gygax right. and Eric Mengi and
do you have a YouTube channel where you upload the games after you're done?
Yeah if you search Wily Hobbit on YouTube, all the stuff I've ever streamed is out there, and you'll see that it's, you know, I am not the king of production quality. You know, it's good enough for what I'm trying to do. We have people who come on and watch our games and we have a blast. And what's really been the coolest thing about all of this streaming is I've made some really, really good, actual real friends streaming D&D. When I went up to GaryCon in March of 2023, I went up to Madison. I was on a work trip and one of the people, Gideon, who is in my first ever streamed game, that streamed with me for probably 2, maybe 3 years, got to go visit him for the first time. So, awesome. I mean, I met DM Dave, I met Jay, I met Vamp Wickman, I met Chris and Carl and all these, you know, I met Anna Meyer, the people I've met from streaming D&D, met them all at GaryCon. And now that's awesome. I have actual human friends who are important to me. You know, and I've watched some really, really great stories unfold with really good players. You know, you were in one of our games. We had a Monday night game that went for probably almost 2 years. You kind of came in the last year, the second year of it, but we had a lot of fun. I met, in fact, Andrew, who was in that game, he and I met up. He went to Gen Con and I drove down and we had dinner together on his way to Indianapolis. I intersected him. Yep. And that to me is why I do this, because I'm making real friends. Most of it's virtual, but man, we you know, this is, I have an in-person game that I get to play in, but lately we've been struggling to meet, you know, everybody struggles with that. So it's another outlet for my creative side. I've also done a fair amount of home brewing, and that's what I love about Greyhawk is like the game we're playing right now. We're doing Secrets of the Flaness.
Yeah. Tell us about
it. The first part of it, the first 18, 19 episodes were Forge of Fury, which I want to say was a third edition module. So we played through that, finished it up, and now we're playing against the Giants, but we're playing it 5e. Yep. I just kind of converted Forge of Fury. Oh, no, I didn't have to.
It's in
Yawning Portal.
Yawning Portal,
But to get into Forge of Fury, I used Carlos Lysing, Castle Entertainment's Happened on the Way to Caverick's Cove adventure as our base of operations. And we had probably an 8-9-session adventure hook, all homebrewed out of that Caverick's Cove, using some of Carlos's and the rest was homebrewed, to get us into Forge of Fury and then back out of it again. And now we're in our second Secret of the Flaness and we're arcing our way, hooking our way into the first Against the Giants module.
And how many episodes are you into your second arc then?
We have played three. Yeah, I think we've played three episodes.
And when are you streaming those so that our listener base can all come on the next time?
Yeah, so we play about monthly, once a month or so is kind of the cadence that seems to work best for that group. You know, we were going weekly, and then it backed out to every other week, and then we lost a guy, and you know, we're all adults just playing pretend. So we found that kind of that every 4 to 6 weeks we try to play once per month, and that seems to be the right cadence for that group. And then we've started a second game with just two players and myself, also set in Greyhawk down in the southern tip of Alyssa near the Vast Swamp, and we're a couple of episodes into that, and that's got Chris and Carl in it. They're also in the other Sunday game.
What are you doing in that one?
Well, there may be a situation that involves the Scarlet Brotherhood. It's entirely possible. I can't, you know, I don't want to say for sure, but they could be behind the it could be them. And so they're off investigating some interesting things, and they've stumbled into a traveling group of orcs and orogs who have, they're trying to track them down, to see what they're all about in the vast swamp and in the forest, cause they don't belong there. And they have suspicions that perhaps the Scarlet Brotherhood is somehow tied to the strange goings on. So there's that one as well.
So you have streamed games in Radic, and you are currently streaming a game in Sterich and in Alyssa, the vast swamp area. That is neat. So
we're all over the place. Our first stream game started up in the great northern kingdom of Aerdy, oozed into the Bone March. I purchased the Goodman Games Into the Unknown, the big double book that has B1, B2 in it. Yep. And we did the Into the Unknown, B1. And I set that at the very western edge of the Rakers, where they meet the Gamboge. And that's where I put the key. I called it the Q Caskaton. And we did that. And that was my first stream game, was that book. I'm a Keep on the Borderlands junkie, you know, old school guy. And I'm like, I want to do that. And then we were going to go into the Keep. And then they decided, hey, let's play in the Forgotten Realms. So we switched gears after probably a year and a half. That game went over 2 years. Same core people, you know, changed, few people dropped, few people added, but the two core people to that game stuck the whole way through. And that game went 2.5 years probably. And it started in the Bone March and ended up, we found our way into the Forgotten Realms from there. And we played through some of that stuff.
Yeah. And you said it in the Dale Lands. It was good stuff.
That one is actually set over in Phandelver. Your game was set in the Dale Lands.
I like the
Monday Night game, Mystery in the Dale Lands. Yeah,
that was fun. And are you looking for, are you happy with the group you got? You're in your good place. Or are you looking for maybe one or two more players to jump on at some point?
You know, it's entirely possible that we could add a couple to the How Comes the Darkness game. That's the one with just two players in it. We've been, it's funny, we were having trouble meeting the Secrets of the Flaness group. So we thought there were two guys that were always available from that group. We're like, well, why don't we just run a totally separate game and noodle around on that while Secrets of the Flaness kind of refines its groove. And now the small game, we can't get those guys together. All they can manage is the Secrets of the Flaness games right now. So we're kind of noodling back and forth, flailing away. But that's, I mean, welcome to D&D, you know, in adult time. You know, we're all adulting. We're all busy. I used to run games. I had, when I was at my busiest streaming, I had a Monday night game, a Wednesday night game. And then I had my game on Fridays, my home game that would play every other week. And then some occasional Sunday things. There were weeks when I would have five games.
That's awesome.
And then I would play on other people's streams every now and then. And I've gotten to be pretty comfortable. You know, if I could play most Sundays, that would fit my schedule, but my players can't all do that many Sundays. So, I've still given some thought to, I kind of want to run, Curse of Strahd, which is not in Greyhawk, but I'm kind of itching to run that. I got the Strahd book recently, and then I just got the Von Richten's Guide to Ravenloft. So, well, I'm kind of itching to do some horror.
You heard that, listeners? If you want to play in Wily Hobbit's Curse of Strahd, you send him a chat over on on Twitter or somehow and say, hey, that's my that's for me. And
at Wiley Hobbit on the tweeters and or our Discord. Yeah. You had asked a question earlier. I want to just catch it real quick. You asked about microphones.
Oh, yes.
And headsets. I had gotten into voiceover work, so I over-engineered what's probably necessary for, especially for my, I've got a nice pair of Sennheiser DT770 Pro headphones. And I've got a nice Blue Yeti mic that's really, and Blue Yetis, they're like 100, 120 bucks.
Yeah.
So they're not free, but they're, you know, as mics go, that's a nice price for a really solid.
The Yeti Snowball, which is which is the cheaper end, but still a decent mic.
Yeah, so that's a good, you know, get yourself a decent condenser mic that's built for streaming. I like the Blue Yeti stuff, and then these get yourself a good headset that really, you know, treat yourself to that. It's nice to have that, especially if you're able to have like music playing with your, you know, game and so forth. Like that's one thing Dave has added to our game is he's using Tabletop Audio as a resource. Neat. Yeah. And then for my voiceover work, I subscribe to a thing called Take Tones, and it's you purchase non-copyrighted music tracks, sound beds and things that, you know, composers have written and sold on there, and it's a subscription service and you have access to their whole library. And so depending on the style of music. And so like the lead in and lead out for this podcast was a sound bed that I had, you know, gotten from subscription. So that's kind of nice to have. And then another resource I like to use is the thing called Pixlr, PIXLR.com. And it's a, it's sort of like a photoshopping, like you can upload a PNG or JPEG file. So I use it to put text and images onto blank overlays that I purchased. So I'll upload an overlay that I've bought, and I will add like the Wiley Hobbit logo, or I'll type in the text for all the names and pronouns for all the characters and everybody that's, you know, under the window frames and things. Then I don't have to purchase or pay for customized overlays. I can buy the overlays blank and customize them myself using Pixlr. And Pixlr went from free to, I think I buy like the lowest price subscription. It's not very expensive. And that gets me access to be able to use some of their assets, their graphics and things, fonts and stuff. But you can really customize your overlays that way. There's a fellow on Twitch, if you really like great art overlays, Askren, A-S-K-R-E-N, at Askren, who's a really, really, really talented artist. He does really nice overlays. In fact, I bought some of his off of Etsy, but he'll also do custom overlays. So if you really want to spend, you know, a few extra dollars and get some really custom artwork done, great. Also at So Matty Games, S-O-M-A-T-T-Y. When I first started purchasing custom overlays, he did a bunch of those. He's very fairly priced and does really good work. Very good guy. So there's also a lot of good overlay artists out there. But yeah, so if you want help getting started, you know, my main thing is just do it. Keep it simple. Hardware matters. But if you have questions or if I can help you get up and running, by all means, I would happy to be a resource for you.
And by all means, people, please check out Wiley's channel. Go. You usually tweet out when you're going to do an episode, aren't you?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. So check out his check. Follow him on Twitter. And if you're free on a Sunday afternoon, and he's streaming, go check him out. Grab your adult beverage or whatnot and your fuzzy bunny slippers and put your feet up and watch some D&D.
Yeah. We usually go live at 1:30 on Sunday afternoons. Our next game for Secrets of the Flannes will be December 5th. I will say some other streamers to watch, Armin, A-H-R-M-I-N. He's a streamer in New Zealand, and he streams Greyhawk D&D, of course, Lord Gazumba. Would also recommend Blue Box RPG is another one. Phantom NJ, our friend Rob, he's been on the podcast. Guild Superior Mm-hmm. They run a Tuesday night Greyhawk game that's really, really good. I know I'm forgetting a bunch of other streamers, but I'm old and you'll just have to, you know, bear with me. But those would be other examples. All of those are different from mine. And that's what's the cool thing about it is everybody yeah. streams the way they stream, and there's no right way, wrong way. You can go all in, or you can just be super casual and micro streamer like I am. So
that's great. Yeah. Well, thanks for taking some time to chat about this. This was a topic I know nothing about. So I thought it would be good to chat about it. And who knows, maybe next virtual Greyhawk Con, there might be one or two more new Greyhawk streamers.
Like Mateus. Yeah, that would be great.
Ain't nobody want to see my face.
All right, man. Well, that was fun. It was fun talking about it. So we'll see you all next time out there in the interwebs. And until then, be kind and be safe. And, you know, a couple weeks from now, we're going to have a book review. So that'll be fun.
That'll be fun. Let's see you then.
See you.
You've been listening to the Greycast Podcast, where we explore the world of Greyhawk one podcast at a time. Mateus and I are excited to share our passion for the world of Greyhawk with each of you. We'll drop episodes every other Monday featuring all things Greyhawk. Please refer us to all your cool, nerdy Greyhawkian friends and allies, even your most hated enemies at the gate. You can find our podcast on Spotify and be sure to give us a follow on Twitter at Greycast576 to keep up with Greycast. Until next time, remember, it's a dangerous business going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to.